Good morning. This is Port of Tacoma Commission President John McCarthy calling to order the special session of July 16th, 2020. The time is 9:17 a.m. Present with me today by video conference are Commissioners Ang, Keller, Marzano, and Meyer. This study session is in addition to our regular public meeting, which will convene at noon today. We continue to hold our meetings remotely in accordance with Governor's Proclamation 20-28.6, which has been recently extended through August 1st, 2020. The public is encouraged to participate either by telephone or by the live stream on the port's website. To begin, I will now lead the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. We're going to proceed into our study session. Today's study session is to review the proposed restated commission bylaws as recommended by a committee of the commission. So I would invite commission members Keller and Ang to open the discussion. We have essentially 1 hour for this study session matter.
Thank you, Commissioner McCarthy. This is Commissioner Keller. Just wanting to thank the commission, first of all, for allowing Commissioner Ang and myself to review the bylaws and to come up with some suggested restatements or amendments to the bylaws. We really appreciate the opportunity to do so since we're new on the commission. And the other thing that surprised both of us was the fact that the last time that these were amended was 26 years ago. So we kind of figured it was time and times have changed. But what we learned from this was, especially looking at other port authorities, is that several of the bylaws essentially take from the RCWs and drill down into more specific commission duties due to their specific areas and the purpose and mission of their communities and their specific ports. So it was really a great exercise for us as new commissioners. So we appreciate that as well. Also want to thank Carolyn Lake very much for our general counsel for helping with assembling all of the materials, and also to Eric Johnson with his great knowledge of all the different ports in the state of Washington and being able to assemble all of that. So again, we thank you for allowing us to do that. Commissioner Ang, do you have something that you want to also add to it?
I think you covered it pretty much. It was privilege to go through the bylaws, and I think it's very helpful as a new commissioner. And it was also nice that we weren't recreating the wheel. We were able to see what other ports' bylaws look like, and in some ways we weren't working from scratch yet. This is not the 1994 bylaws. It really did need an update. I think even our meeting times and dates are different from what was in the bylaws, and I think this gives a clear picture of what our roles are as commissioners. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Carolyn Lake, are you able to go ahead and lead us through this?
Surely, Commissioner, thank you. So we'll go to the first slide, please. And this study session is for the full commission to take a look at the work accomplished by the Commission Bylaws Committee, Commissioner Ang and Commissioner Keller. No one is seeking formal action today. This is just a discussion. The bylaws, the restated bylaws that you're seeing today, are very much a product of the committee's good discussion. As Commissioner Ang and Keller alluded to, the bylaws that the commission had used were the ones in place since 1994. And with a brand new executive director and two new energetic commissioners, this was the right time, and they brought the energy and interest to undertake a bylaws reboot. So the bylaws committee was created in late May with the approval of the full commission, Commissioner Keller and Ang staffed that bylaws committee. They met three times in undergoing their review of the bylaws. The committee reviewed first the Port of Tacoma, Northwest Seaport Alliance, and Port of Seattle bylaws, and then expanded the scope of the review to take a look at, I believe, 11 different sets of bylaws of various ports, both within Washington and then a couple outside of Washington. And the committee had a true focus. Their intent was to strengthen the board structure, to develop protocols and internal commission processes, and then also to talk about and direct within the bylaws the role of and methods for accepting public comment. That was a big area of interest for our two new commissioners. The committee did settle on presenting a restatement of the bylaws rather than a red line. That's because there is a lot of content changes and additions. So what you have before you is not a red line of the old bylaws. It is the proposed restated bylaws in full. So the purpose of the bylaws, you know, the commission just went through a revision of the master policy delegation of authority. That is a policy document by which the commission is speaking to the executive director and delegating various roles and authority. The bylaws purpose, on the other hand, is the document that contains the rules and principles that define both the commission's governing structure, and it's also internal to the commission. It's their statement of structure and protocols. So you'll see in the bylaws, there's provisions addressing how the commission conducts its affairs, kind of the expectation and duties of each commissioner. It defines commission officer responsibility. It sets forth how commission meetings are called and how the commission should operate its meetings. And then your typical, how it maintains minutes and records, and then also managing typical commission as a board behavior. So you'll see that most bylaws include a statement of purpose, and that's true for this as well. Article 1, which is on page 1 of the proposed bylaws in front of you, includes a placeholder. The committee recognizes that the port is in the process of undergoing a strategic planning process, so they have included a placeholder. So as the mission, the port's mission statement gets developed in that parallel strategic plan process, it would then we would then come back and drop that mission statement within the bylaws. Article 2 is talking about how the board conducts its affair, and probably this section is received the most attention and energy from the committee, and it's what makes the port commission unique as an organization. So Article 2 talks about expected commission duties and responsibilities, what its business activities are. It directs that it establishes financial policies and legislative priorities, and it also reserves to itself if, how, and the extent to which the port will carry out those very tricky government powers of taxation and eminent domain. And then Article 2 also includes some protocols for how the commission would carry out those duties. Also, with as part of the management structure, Article 3, which appears on page 3 and 4 of the bylaws, describes how the commission organizes its business. It was great to see the fresh perspective of the two new commissioners. They believed that a good way to start off each year was for the commission to do either an annual retreat or kind of a deep dive at the first commission meeting of the year for all those activities that kind of set the stage for the upcoming year, including assigning commission membership, electing officers, those kind of things. This Article 3 also includes a process for creating standing and other types of commission committees. Right now, the current commission only has one standing committee, and that is the audit committee. And then, of course, it has kind of episodical committees such as the Bylaws Committee to address issues before the board. And the bylaws also contain a provision that addresses service on by commission members on outside boards. Page 4 of the bylaws is Article 4, and it addresses the officer's duty. And these are descriptions, as you usually find in bylaws, describing the role of the commission president, vice president, secretary, and assistant. It also includes the procedure for officer removal or replacement, and that was done under the principle that if you have a standing document that addresses how officers are elected, appointed, then it's typical and usual that there be a provision for the opposite, removal and replacement. And this is anticipated that it would be done only in extraordinary circumstances. Page 5 to 7 of the bylaws include Article 5, and that addresses the time, place, and location of the meetings. And I want to follow up on Commissioner Eng's statement. I think in the current, we missed something in the bylaws review, and that is under Article 5, I think we have the commission meeting on the third Thursday, and we need to change that to the second Thursday. Article 6 then sets forth the order of the commission agenda, and there were a couple of things that's different. Well, on Article 6, this is setting forth, and it appears on page 7 of the bylaws. There's a couple of highlights there on the typical meeting agenda. The commission added an item for approval of the agenda. So that is not currently one of the standing items within the commission agenda. That's there, so folks have an opportunity. It's a placeholder if folks want to add something to agenda or approve the agenda as presented. There's now a placeholder for that action to occur. The committee also added an agenda item for new business. And the committee indicated that they want to listen to new ideas. They want to hear new ideas. And this, again, is an institutionalized placeholder for that input to be received. The committee also had a lot of energy around types of public comment. So you'll see that the agenda includes public comment, but it also has an asterisk that preserves the ability of the commission to take public comment, not only just at the beginning of the meeting, but also on individual agenda actions following the staff presentation and before the commission votes. So the commission gets the benefit of public comment on topics of interest. And then the last slide, Article 7, 8, 9, and 10 contain the usual bylaws content, commission motions, how those are done, when to use resolutions, and then maintaining minutes, and last, the process for amending these bylaws as well. We open it up for commission discussion. Thank you.
So, Commissioner McCarthy, I would recommend that we possibly just go through from the very beginning and have commission comments. And I think the goal is that we drill down to a place where we all have agreement and have a clear understanding of what we want to have happen. And it may take a couple of work study sessions to do this. So would you like to lead that?
26 years is a long time to wait before we review this. So we really do appreciate our two new commissioners stepping in and undertaking this. And there's a lot of great ideas in here. And I agree, Commissioner Keller, it's a good idea to go over this and take comments. And I think you're correct. We're probably going to have a couple of sessions on this. And perhaps the committee are going to also contemplate some of the ideas and suggestions that the rest of us have when this comes back to us. I know I've gone over this document, and it's several pages, and I'm surprised I only have about, it's nine pages, I have about, you know, maybe a dozen comments for discussion. But I think you're right. We should probably go over it section by section. Does anybody have anything to say with regard to the preamble?
Mr. McCarthy, can you hear me? This is Don.
Hi, Don. I hear you. Yes.
Yeah. Good morning. I would say that on the preamble, I like the idea that we would insert the mission statement of the port. I think that's very important. So I like that addition. And other than the fact that I also want to say thank you to our fellow commissioners for their leadership on this, but also to our executive director. I think they brought some fresh approaches here that we need to consider as we move forward. So just a sense of appreciation. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else have any comments on the preamble? If not, I'm not seeing any hands. We'll move on to the commission duties and responsibilities and turn to any specific questions or comments from Commissioners Meyer and Marzano on this before I maybe make a few comments of my own.
Commissioner McCarthy, first of all, I want to reference item 1B specifically, and it talks about the commission shall set the salary level and review the performance evaluation and the performance pay of the executive director in public session. I think what I don't want to wordsmith it because it's impossible to do it, but what I prefer or would recommend people think about is not just setting the salary level, but be committed to an annual review, performance review, evaluation that's made public. And that when we talk about the pay of the executive director, I view it as compensation because pay to me is like salary. The fact of the matter is our executive director has compensation. It could be in the form of a car or benefits or something of that nature. So all I'm saying is I like a reference of annual performance evaluations. I like the fact that they may be made public or put on our port website or whatever you want to do. And then to talk about the overall idea of we set the compensation for the executive director rather than just making a reference to pay. The other comment I have is, where in this document would we make a reference to international travel being approved by the majority of the commission? I couldn't find it anywhere in here, and I don't know if it should be referenced here or maybe in another place. But that's what we've been doing, as far as I know, forever. But I didn't see any reference in this document. So those would be my comments on the section of duties and responsibilities.
Okay, I've got several I'll make. First of all, once again, these are great to see them laid out. I want to make sure that we identify that this is not an exclusive list of our duties and responsibilities, because I think there's some other statutory duties such as contracting, small works, projects, and other things that, so we ought to make it clear, I think, that this is not an exclusive list, unless there's some language in there that opens it up or includes other statutory requirements. 1B, where it says the commission and the executive director shall agree to the executive director's goals and objectives on an annual basis. My comment when I saw that was that then will require a vote by the commission on the goals and objectives. Right now, heretofore, I know the director disseminates. We generally comment back and we go back and forth. And I know it takes oftentimes several months to have a document that we think is completed. So I just raised a question whether that's something we want to actually vote on it on an annual basis, or whether we want to set a month or a time that we have that voted on. Item number L, issue proclamations as a commission on issues affecting the port. That's fine. The last part of that paragraph, it says any communication to a government entity or leader or which takes a policy position on a port not previously publicly endorsed by the commission shall be circulated in advance to each commissioner with sufficient time for review. I think there are a lot of communications that we have that, you know, we support projects. We support Blue Wave. We support Sumner's Road projects. And those are things that traditionally now they've been they're not controversial, and the commission president has signed a letter endorsing or approving projects. So we want to be nimble. We want to be able to show our commission support for projects. I'm a little bit concerned the fact that we might have to get public endorsement before we undertook any such support, because that takes time, getting it on the agenda, et cetera. So maybe there's a way that that can be modified a little bit that says if it's something that's not controversial, that the staff circulate it, and if anyone has an objection within 2 or 3 days or something, so state, otherwise we'll proceed without going for through a formal process. So I just asked the committee to kind of look at that language and see if that can be polished up a little bit. As Carolyn pointed out, I'm on Article 2, Section 4, that we're going to publicly vote to approve the agenda. That's a change in what we're doing. It may not be a bad idea. Some organizations do it. Thanks for drawing your attention to that. I guess I've got to think about that one a little bit more. So, Dick, unless you had any further comments on that, or Commissioners Keller or Ang or Eric, if you want to jump in on any of the things that Don Meyer or I have raised, we can do that as well here. So.
Well, first of all, I want to thank both of our commissioners for the time and effort of going through this. Really appreciate it. Long overdue and a job well done. A couple things. I agree with you, John, with the regards to the communications and sending out our support letters for projects and stuff. I think that can be adjusted with regards to L, that letter L in this thing, because there's a lot of times, as we all know, we have a time limit based on maybe the state legislature, federal government, or whatever else. But making sure that all the commissioners understand what is being signed by the president on behalf of the commission in ample time so that they could have a say on it if there's a problem. With regards to the agenda, you know, the agenda's got to be sent out, I think it's 48 hours before to the public and stuff, and any changes then, and maybe I can be corrected, any changes then cannot happen unless we give it ample time to the public. Am I correct? Is it 48 or 24 hours?
Commissioner, this is Carolyn. The requirement for advance posting of agendas applies only when it's a special meeting. So that's the legal requirement, 24 hours prior to the special meeting, and then you stick to that agenda. The regular meeting has no such requirements in law, but it may be a matter of policy.
Okay, well, one of the things we don't ever want to do is to add something to the agenda or change it without public knowledge in plenty of time in case there's things that they want to do. So, and at the same time, commission. I don't want to be surprised. I'm sure none of us want to be surprised about something new on the agenda. So. Somewhere along the line, if there is such a thing that needs to be added because of the timely element, then I think we need to somehow look at how we can do that. But otherwise, yeah, everything looks fine right there. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner McCarthy?
Yes.
Can I just interject a couple of things and all great ideas too. And I know that we can tweak this so that it accommodates all that. With regard to the communications, just the whole purpose, as Commissioner Marzano talked about, commission needs to, it's important that all five members of the commission know what everybody else knows. It's not good to be able to be elected a leader and then to be left out of any kind of information. So I think that that's our responsibility to each other. So I think that was the purpose. So I think we can tweak this so it benefits that. And also, Julia, could you please put the bylaws on the on here so that anyone watching can also watch us go through this? I think it might be beneficial for the public if they're watching to see what we're referring to. Are you okay with that, Commissioner McCarthy?
Sounds great. Thank you.
Okay.
We've got about a half an hour left. Let's move to Commission 3, or Article 3, Commission Organization. I've got several comments on this one, on this section, and maybe I can lead off, and then Don and Dick can chime in. Item 3, first of all, I note in the bylaws that there's no automatic rotation in the offices that we held, and actually the existing bylaws don't have that either. Apparently it's just been tradition, I believe, that we've done that kind of automatic rotation through the position. So this doesn't include any automatic rotation. Item number 3, having a retreat and then having on the agenda collaborative assignments to commissioners to outside boards and committees, an assignment to the standing committee. I think collaboration is great, but ultimately, if there's disagreement, two people want to serve in one particular function, it probably has to be an action item where we actually approve the assignments, which is kind of what we've done. We probably have to put in the agenda an action item to approve the agenda. I also, jumping from 3 to 6 that talks about standing committees, and I know Carolyn mentioned that we only have one standing committee, and that's the audit committee, I think. I think we ought to perhaps define in here what standing committees might be. And I think that, you might want to consider some assignments to outside boards or committees, some assignments perhaps. And I know one of the ports that you looked at gives the authority to the president to, or the chairperson to appoint members to some committees. So you might want to consider whether, first of all, defining what standing committees are and whether there are some assignments that should be up to the chair to appoint. That just my thoughts on that. On item number 6, the standing committees, and there's a sentence there about midway through 6. It says standing committees may act on behalf of the commission as a representative if they have been approved to do so by the commission by a vote of a majority in open session, and if it's expressed in the charter. I needed clarification there because we're all involved in community outside boards and committees where somebody makes a motion to do something, and I want to make it clear that our representative on the fly has the opportunity to participate and vote on things. I don't want to get tied up by saying anything that we vote on, it has to have come before the full commission in open session before our representative can speak on our behalf. So tuning this up a little bit to define standing committees and what authority that we give people that are our representatives on citizen or outside committees might be important. The last part of paragraph 6 also talks about, so that last section I had some questions about. Port-related boards memberships. Couple of things. So it says the port commissioners may serve on outside boards as a representative. and that we collaboratively assign port-related board members. Some of our outside memberships are not appointed by us. For example, I serve as appointed by the governor on the Freight Mobility Strategic Investment Board. Commissioner Marzano was previously appointed to serve on that board by a governor. So some outside port-related boards, we don't actually control that, and therefore the limitations of 4 years, et cetera, don't necessarily apply. The last part of paragraph 7 that says you may serve on outside boards, you avoid conflicts of interest, and then you need to recuse themselves. I think we need to be clear. For example, you know, we have members of the commission that serve on the Economic Development Board, for example. That, in my mind, shouldn't mean they need to recuse themselves on voting for funding for the Economic Development Board. So there's a lot of, I think, outside committees and boards that we serve on in our capacities as commissioners, and it doesn't create or pose a conflict of interest to vote on funding those organizations. So that was a question item I had there that I think needed some clarification. So those are my comments on Article 3. Commissioner Meyer or Marzano, comments?
Go ahead, Don.
Okay, well, thank you, Dick. I guess I have one question. I'm on item number 2. There's a reference. It says the following order, president and then co-president. What's the, is there something happening there that I'm not aware of? I didn't know we had a co-president.
I think that we forgot to take that out. So,
yeah. But if it's just something that was, it shouldn't have been in there, that's fine. I thought maybe there was something new. I also think that in terms of some of the items that Commissioner McCarthy has alluded to regarding item 7 has to be tuned up definitely, because some of us are specially appointed for X number of years. And so I think that those comments I appreciate, and they were some of the items that I was concerned about as well. So thank you. That's all I have on that article.
Dick, any comments?
Just a quick comment with regards to the same thing Don talked about. Commission board members. One of the things that, because of your position maybe on the commission, let's say you're the president, you're appointed to a committee, you're on a committee. What I don't want to see, or which to me is it hurts us to some degree, when a person serves on a board and then the next year he's no longer the president or she's no longer the president, that should not preclude them from staying on that board simply because of continuity and things of that nature. And so I want to make sure that we have the flexibility as a commission when board vacancies or when renewals come up or something like that, that we look at what best serves us as a commission.
Thank you. Commissioner Keller or Ang or Eric or Carolyn, anybody have any comments on that? We've got about 20 minutes left, just so you know.
So I just wanted to, this is Commissioner Keller, just wanted to talk about the rotation. And we thought about this with regard to Article 3, Number 2. We kind of left that out of there just because if there is some, if the commission decides they want to do it differently, then they don't have to revise the bylaws. So that was kind of the purpose of that.
Okay.
But if the commission wants something more specific in there, we can certainly do that.
All right. I think, I actually think it's not a bad idea, but so thank you.
This is Don. I concur with that. I think it should be put in the bylaws.
The automatic rotation part, Don, just so.
Yes, that's what you were referring to.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
If I could chime in there real quick. You know, because I was, I think, on there when we changed that to a rotation. And one of the reasons we did, and the main reason we did, is simply to allow each commissioner to serve as president, but at the same time, looking and seeing some of the political infighting of other commissions when they did have elections. To me, it just serves a better purpose. We don't have the in-house fighting, trying to find out if I can get 3 votes so I can be president or whatever else. It just, it serves us a lot better, I think.
So noted. Thank you.
Okay. Eric, any comments on that before we move on?
No comments on that.
Thank you. Article 4, officers' duties, were on page 4 and 5. At first blush, I don't think I had any comment on that section. Commissioners Meyer or Marzano?
No comment for me. This is Don.
Okay.
Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
This is Eric. Can you hear me all right?
I can.
Okay. I caught two very minor things that slipped through as in our cut and pasting. One is Article 4, Section 2. Commissioner Meyer already mentioned this. It references co-presidents. That's because we lifted that from a port that had co-presidents. So that's a mistake. We need to take that out. And then under number 3, duties of the secretary, that includes supervising the safekeeping of the seal, which is, again, pretty archaic language. I'm not sure Don Meyer knows where the seal is of the port and ensures its safekeeping. So that's
probably on his tractor. It's on his tractor.
I think that's a phrase that's really rather archaic, and I think we can safely remove it.
Okay, I thought Don had it mounted on his tractor, but
maybe.
Eric, I want you to know the only seal that I can think of is in the water.
Yeah, I know.
So there are seals out there, Eric. That's what I was thinking.
I'm looking at one right now, as a matter of fact. But anyway, yeah, that's just sort of old language that we lifted from someplace and we missed it.
Any further comments on that article? And once we're going to have time to go over this more later and give some further comments to the committee members. But Article 5, which goes from page 5 through 7, does anyone have any questions or comments on that?
Quick comment from me, Mr. President. Section 4, I believe it currently says regular meetings on the second Thursday of each month, and that should read third Thursday.
Okay. Thank you. Item, let me ask, at the top of page 7, under the section 7 agenda to be provided, where it says that each item shall have a written explanation and full briefing of all information. Let me ask you, Eric. That's pretty stringent. Is that too stringent? Are there some things that you would like to have the option where a full written explanation or briefing is not necessary?
I think that's probably true, Mr. President. There are things that we bring up sometimes by way of just, you know, announcements and stuff that I don't think it would be efficient for us to bring that a week ahead of time.
Right.
We may want to make some reference to, you know, significance or, you know, certainly items that are going to be voted upon, obviously.
Right.
It may be a little bit stringent. You're right.
Right. And even there's some items we vote on, and it's really more pro forma than anything else. So maybe give it some thought as to how that can give us a little bit more flexibility, as in practice has been the case. Any further? I'm on to Article 6, starting on at the bottom of 7, the Order of Commission Business. And I wanted to talk about this a little bit. I appreciate the committee's desire, you know, particularly since the two of you are the most recently elected and you've been out there in the community recently, last year. I appreciate your desire to have public input on different items, but the way we have this order set up now, an individual would have the ability to testify or make statements 3 times in a meeting at 3 minutes each. one individual. One, public testimony. Two, after an action item. And three, new business. They'd have the ability to also speak on behalf of new business. I'm wondering if that order of business is correct. There are some situations where I think public testimony is better served to have it at the end of the meeting. An example, and so I'd like some flexibility there. An example, for example, was our first meeting where we welcomed our new commissioners to the commission, and there were a lot of people that wanted to speak, and rightfully so, on behalf of our new commissioners. And instead of having public testimony at the beginning, we waited until the action item because we knew people that wanted to speak on your being on the commission. So I prefer to have some flexibility as to when we put public testimony, the order of the business. So I'd prefer to have some flexibility there. And I also, I raised the question of whether the opportunity for members of the public to address the commission three different times at 3 minutes each could be problematic in some situations. So that was my big issue there. Commissioner Meyer or Marzano, as to that section, any comments or questions?
Just a couple real quickly, because John, I understand where you're coming from, and I agree to some extent. And one of the things that I think we need to make sure of is that if we're going to err, we err on the side of the public testimony. We have the ability right now where they can make the public comment right at the start of the meeting. I think it's imperative that we allow that after an agenda item, because a lot of times that agenda item is late in the meeting, and maybe some of us don't remember a lot of what was said. So I think that's important. And we should always have the latitude with regards to if there's a lot of people there to ask the commission, say, we want to move an agenda item so we can get that public comment for the people in the audience. So I think we still have the flexibility to do that.
Don, do you have any comments on that article? Or?
Yes, I do. First of all, I think the approval of the agenda should be, as you open up the meeting and call it to order, that and after the flag's looped, you should be talking about the approval of the agenda. That's the point in time where everything else falls below that. So that's the first comment I have. The second comment is, I don't quite, and by the way, I like what Commissioner Marzano just made a reference to in terms of public comments. I often feel that when you listen to the staff's presentation of the action items, it's important that we then get public commentary. And so I liked what Commissioner Marzano made a reference to. With regards to the section on new business, item number 7, I'm not certain how to take that, because I don't know what really is motivating that. I do like the idea that, is it really the purpose of item 7 is to talk about future topics, either study session topics or action items? I'm not quite certain what that means. So that one's kind of puzzling to me. I do like the idea, though, that we could talk about items that are coming up and at future commission meetings. So I don't have a problem with that at all. The other item is, I often feel, and I think we do this in our alliance meetings, I think sometimes when we look at our action items, I think it'd be nice, or even maybe before public testimony, is where our executive director kind of gives the context of what these agenda items mean. Not necessarily into the details, but somewhere along this executive director perspective on action items, so that when the public hears these things, they see them in a bigger picture. That's all. So I I'm trying to recall, I think on the Alliance agenda, we have our CEO report in advance of any action item. So I'd like for the group to consider maybe those. Thank you.
Thank you.
So Commissioner McCarthy, can I address the number seven?
Please.
Commissioner Meyer, I just wanted to let you know that we chose this so that it would be another opportunity for either the public, the staff, or the commission itself to ask the commission to consider, you know, taking a look at something in the future, not to address it necessarily then and there, but something that we can take back and say, what do we want to do with this? So it actually becomes another opportunity, not only for the public, but for the commission itself and the staff. So that was the purpose for that. And I think that we had a conversation about staff briefings, and we felt that because it was the commission's meeting primarily, that the staff and executive director would be at the end, but we can do whatever you want to do. So I understand what you're talking about.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that. Just as a matter of, go ahead, Dawn.
Oh, this is Kristen. This is Kristen.
Yes.
So I think with the public comments, I didn't know if there was a specific that made it 3 minutes. Oh, am I on? Oh, to made it that you had to have 3 minutes for each of the public comments section. The motivation for having public comments in the beginning was to give convenience for those who didn't want to stay for the whole meeting, who may have jobs that they can't stay through our entire meeting until that agenda item. There's also that convenience of email, but some people really like to testify in front of us. So I think that was the intention for the public comments in the beginning. And then with the agenda items, at times the public, after they hear the agenda item and presentation, even after sometimes when they hear commissioner comments, some of the nuances of the arguments, it sometimes even changes their mind, or they come up with some other things. It kind of ignites or starts up an idea in their minds about it. And I don't know if it's 3 minutes each at each time, but if time can actually be reduced. I know at city council, sometimes when they know that there's a lot of people signed up, they are able to reduce the time from whether it's 3 minutes to 2 minutes. Also, let's see here, for public comments. For new business, for me, I think that was mostly for us as commissioners and staff, because there are times when we do our commissioner comments, and I feel that section in the end should maybe be more about, you know, events, something not really substantive at the port, particularly when we're bringing up, let's say, about a subarea plan or some sort of project or some sort of retreat that we'd like to do. I'm not sure if commissioner's comments at the end is that time. Instead, maybe it should be something where we're talking about new business that we'll take on in the future, or we'd like to set a date on, or a meeting. And we were trying to find a place for that that wasn't commissioner comments, because commissioner comments, I think, should be, at least for me, not too long. It should be a brief, and it's not about something quite, I would say, substantive.
I appreciate that gives me an idea of the philosophy. One of the things I think we need to do is, I am concerned about having public testimony at the beginning for a long time. I see the city council where they'll have some really meaty, substantive issues that they need to decide and debate, and they'll perhaps have 3 hours of testimony, public comment, before they get to their action items, and they're just exhausted by that, where they don't really have the wherewithal, if you would, to debate really the decisions to be made. And so there's a balance, I think, in our meetings between the necessity of public comment and a balance between that and the commission really taken advantage of the opportunity to discuss in public out loud all five present and debate and agree and disagree action items, the things, the meat of what we're accomplishing. So that opportunity, especially because of the Open Public Meetings Act, you know, we don't have the ability, to all five of us, to get together and discuss an action item outside of this context. So I want to make sure that we balance those two things, but it's the commission meeting. We're there to do action, and we're elected to state positions and advocate and debate. And so I just think we've got to balance it in such a way that we're completing effectively and efficiently our action items. So that's my only comment on that. But any further comments on that? I know you're going to go ahead and work on this in light of our comments, but any further comments on that?
Sure. Commissioner McCarthy, I know that this is kind of a balancing act with this, yeah, because not only is it just we're doing the business of the commission, but we're also representatives of the people. And so it's, you know, I totally get what you're saying, and we've got to figure out a balance. So we'll take that back and figure out how we tweak that.
Great. Thank you. And I didn't have any comments on Articles 7. It looks like Article 9, Article 8 has the wrong number on it, and Article 9 or Article 10. Commissioners Meyer or Marzano, any additional comments on the last page of the proposal?
No further comments for me.
Nope, none for me.
Okay. Any further comments, Commissioner Keller or Commissioner Ang or Eric Johnson or Carolyn Lake?
Mr. President. I would like to thank, I'll join the chorus of people who are thinking, it was actually rather interesting and fun to go through these. I didn't think it would be enjoyable, but it turned out to be more fun than I thought it would be. So I really appreciate the energy of the two new commissioners that they put into this. It's very, very healthy.
Yeah, I totally agree. This is very helpful, and I think we appreciate your work. So, Commissioner Keller, the committee going to take this back, consider what we've said, and maybe have another discussion as a full body then?
Absolutely. So what we're going to do is we'll schedule another meeting, and we will think about this on how we're going to draft the language so that it takes into account all of the comments that all of you have made. I mean, this is our document, so I want to make sure that everybody feels good about it, and this should be a 5-0 vote. We're going to make sure that it everybody's comfortable with it. So, and we thank you all for the comments and taking a look at it. It's helpful. And then I assume that once we're ready for that, then we will ask you to do another work session. And it may not be next month. Hopefully it will. We'd like to get it moving, but we'll see when it's convenient for the commission to do that.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. The time now is 10:14. And so we're going to stop and conclude our study session on the bylaws. And I think without any objection, I'll move on to the executive session announcement. It's 10:15. Is that appropriate?
Yes.
I think I heard Carolyn say yes, or Juliet. All right, thank you. It's now 10:15 a.m., and that concluded our study session. I'm now going to call to order the regular meeting to announce the commission, after a short break, will be recessing into an executive session beginning at 10:30 this morning. At the executive session, we are going to discuss one litigation item, one item related to both potential litigation and the legal and financial risks of a proposed course of action, and the annual review of a public employee. These executive session items are allowed pursuant to the Revised Code of Washington 42.30.110 sub 1 sub I, and sub 1, sub 1, sub 3, and sub 1, sub G. The executive session is expected to last 1 hour between 10:30 this morning and 11:30 this morning, after allowing for a half-hour break to accommodate the required technology for public access, the commission will reconvene back into its regular meeting at noon. No votes or actions will be taken during executive session, and no action is anticipated at the public session, which follows as a result of these discussions. Commissioners, after disconnecting, please log into the executive session link for a technical check-in so we can begin our session promptly at 10:30. So thank you. We will now leave this meeting and log into an executive session link. Is that correct, Julia?
That is correct. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We'll leave this meeting at this time.
Commissioner?
Yes,
this is Dakota. Are you doing a personnel action at the beginning of that? Should the rest of us log in at a later time?
I'm sorry, what?
Is there a personnel action in your exec session today? Should we log in at a later time?
No, that's the last thing on in the executive session agenda is the performance evaluation. So
okay.
At the very end.
Okay, sounds good. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for asking that clarification. So we'll leave now and join in the executive session link. Thank you.